When the words which David spoke were heard, they were repeated to Saul, who asked David to come see him. And David said to him, "Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Your servant will go forth to fight against him." Saul said to David, "You cannot go against this Philistine to fight him. You are but a youth, and he is a man of war and has been since his youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there arose a lion or a bear to take a lamb out of my flock, I rose against him and took that lamb out of his mouth. And if he rose up against me, I grabbed him by his beard and I smote him and I killed him. I have killed lions and bears, and this Philistine shall be just one more like them, because he has dared defy the armies of the living God." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Goliath stood, according to the scriptures, 9.5 feet tall. He was a surefire NBA first-round lottery pick. He was dressed head to toe in an armor of bronze, and he carried a spear that looked like a pole vault and a shield that looked like a side of aluminum siding. And every day he walked before the armies of Israel and said, "Send me out your champion. If he defeats me, we will be your servants. But if I defeat him, you will be our slaves. Come, send out someone to challenge me." But even though he issued this challenge every single day, no one responded. But on this day, there was in the crowd a fresh face, a young teenager named David had arrived at the battlefront being sent by his father to take a care package to his older brothers and to his brothers' commanders. And he said to David, his father Jesse did, "Bring me back some token of each brother's well-being. I just want to make sure they are doing okay." Now, you could skip over those verses, but the truth is they contain a powerful truth. High school graduates, I have some disturbing news to give you. Yes, you're very talented. Yes, you have reached the pinnacle of your preparatory career. Yes, for a year, you have been top dogs. You have been lords of all that you survey. But now, with your high school commencement having been completed, you are now demoted to the very bottom rung of adulthood. You are going to be considered the youngest, the least experienced, the most immature on the ladder. You're going to be regarded as freshman pond scum. That is okay. You can rise from your lowly position by beginning to manifest one simple talent: the ability to hear instructions and follow them. David arrives at the battlefront from being a shepherd. That's okay. Many people have risen to greatness coming from origins of obscurity. And yeah, he's at the battlefront because he's delivering cheese whiz to his brothers. Not a very important job. But he takes the time to perform the task. The road to greatness begins by developing the simple skill of listening to instructions and following them. There are executives across this country who will pay you a king's ransom if you just develop the skill of listening to instructions and following them. And I'll add, Father Jesse's desire to hear something about his eldest son's welfare, that is a typical parental response. When you go off to college, whether near or far, your parents are going to want to have some token of your well-being, besides requests for money and dirty laundry. Keep in touch. Keep in touch. But remember that the road to greatness begins by developing the simple skill of listening to instructions and following them and carrying them out. David arrives at a great time. Just as Goliath is issuing his challenge, talking trash. Hey, Israel, send out somebody. Do you not think that your God will deliver you? No, you know better. You know that I'll slaughter you and feed your carcass to the vultures. Do you really believe that your God can deliver you? Well, then send someone out. Now, young David is listening to this and thinking that some Israelite warrior is going to charge out there and challenge Goliath. But everybody hangs their head and kind of shuffles their feet. And David's innocence is shattered. That too is a part of adulthood, recognizing that in times of pressure, there are people who are going to compromise their integrity, who are going to surrender their ideals. But David has the courage to bring a fresh perspective. Is no one going to challenge this bully and this blasphemer? Well, then I'll do it. And everybody laughs at this kid's hubris, his ignorance, his bravado. Everyone except his eldest brother, Eliab. Eliab says to David, "Go home, you little twerp. You have no business here. You don't know anything about battle. You're just trying to escape those boring sheep. I know you. You want to hop into battle and gain a little bit of glory. You know nothing about what's going on here. Go home. You don't belong. You're a nuisance." It's a good thing none of you ever talked to your siblings like that, I'm sure. But David doesn't go home. David doesn't back down. Because he realizes instinctively nothing is so resisted as a new idea and a fresh perspective. Very few new ideas get an instant positive reception. Very few fresh perspectives immediately are greeted warmly. But here's the thing, my young friends. We need your new ideas. We need your fresh perspective. We need your unique position. We need your new energy. Yes, your new perspective, your new energy, your new ideas, they will cause conflict, but dealing with conflict is one of the skills you have to learn in adulthood. We desperately need your fresh perspective, your new ideas, and if you don't share them, if you don't have the courage to share them, you fail individually and as a generation. David doesn't back down because he knows that he brings a fresh perspective that is rooted in purity of motive. He's not speaking out of a glorious, self-seeking heart. He's speaking out of obedience to be a servant for God. You can weather any controversy. You can deal with any conflict as long as you know in your heart that your motives are pure. Saul calls this young man in for a conference and realizes instantly that sending this kid into battle would be a mismatch. He says, "Son, I can't send you toward Goliath. Goliath has been a warrior all his life. You're just a kid." And David's response is, "I am not too young to be used by God. You are not too young to be used by God." And then David says to him, "Look, when I tended sheep for my dad, a lion or a bear would come out of the wilderness and try to attack my flock. And yeah, I wasn't as strong as the lion, but God gave me the strength to kill him. I wasn't as strong as the bear, but God gave me the strength to deal with the situation." God will give me the strength to deal with this Philistine as well. And in response to this young man's confidence, Saul says, "All right, go. Go and God be with you." Another very important lesson to learn right here. Yes, David has learned obedience to do simple tasks. Yes, he brings the courage of a fresh perspective. Yes, he is fed by purity of motive. But he also remembers. He remembers that God has delivered him in the past. You, as high school seniors, are about to enter what I believe is the hardest year of your life. You make more adjustments, more adaptations your freshman year of college than you do almost any other year in your life. It is a time of great change in your existence. And you're going to doubt yourself. You're going to doubt the wisdom of your parents and your friends and your mentors. You're going to doubt the reality of God. You're going to doubt the relevance of God. That's all a part of growing up. But in those moments of doubt, remember how God has delivered you in the past. Remember those moments when you were overwhelmed and God brought you through it. Remember those moments of uncertainty. Remember those moments of despair. Remember those moments when God created a way out of no way for you. You're going to have some very dark times, particularly your freshman year. It's going to be profoundly challenging. But remember that the God who has delivered you in the past will deliver you in the present and deliver you in the future. And don't wear anybody else's armor. Don't try to be somebody you're not. The temptation's going to be there anytime you go into a new situation. The pressure is there to conform to other people's expectations. The pressure will be there to blend in with the crowd. Have the courage to be your own person. Have the courage not to worry too much about what other people think. Saul tries to dress David in his armor and give him his sword. And David is smart enough not to do it. He said, look, if I try to dress like Goliath and look like Goliath and fight like Goliath, I am a dead man. He is a warrior. I am a shepherd. But I'm a pretty good aim. I'm a pretty good aim with a slingshot. David doesn't try to mimic other people's strengths. He plays to his own. You don't need to mimic other people's lives. Play to your own strength. Don't wear anybody's armor but yours. David, the scriptures say, goes down to a brook and he selects five smooth stones. Five, not one. He's confident, but he's not stupid. He realizes he might miss. He prepares for every contingency. That too is greatness. Two men walk into the valley. One is big, but the other is the giant. For all of his stature, Goliath is not a giant. All that's in his heart is hatred and hubris and bravado and bluster. David is a giant because he goes into that valley with a clear sense of mission. He is an ambassador for the army of the living God. Learn from his example. I have no doubt, as talented as all of y'all are, you're going to attain some measure of professional success. You're going to gain some measure of monetary compensation, maybe not as much as you want, but as much as you need. You're going to attain some measure of professional expertise and social acclaim. But if all of these things are not accompanied by a sense of your being a servant of the living God, they will be hollow. They will be hollow. Allow your life to be shaped by a sense that you are on mission as a servant of God. True greatness is found in the ability to pour out your talent in behalf of others. True greatness is found to live with a sense that you are on mission on behalf of the living Christ. If you spend your life with this profound sense that you are answering the call of God to do love in the world, you'll be a giant. David runs toward Goliath. David runs toward his challenge. He does not hang back. He knows you can't become a giant hanging back in fear. You got to go forward with confidence. You're going to meet your share of Goliaths. It's going to come in the form of daunting disappointments and paralyzing failure. It's going to come in the form of greed and cynicism and hatred and prejudice and ignorance and selfishness. It's going to come in the form of people who want you to surrender your faith and your values in order to gain profitable expediency. There will be times when you think that the immoral and mendacious Goliaths of the world have triumphed? They have not. The true giants ultimately win. They may not always conquer, but they live in the hope that God is with them, and that hope cannot be quenched. David runs toward Goliath. And at the right moment, he stops and he fits the stone in his sling and he throws it, and the stone flies true and it hits Goliath in the temple, and the big man falls like a dead tree. And David keeps running and uses Goliath's own sword to behead him. And the Philistines run and the Israelites chase them, and victory is assured. And the career of a giant has begun. Now, I suspect many of you have heard all your life that the David and Goliath story is a story of a hopeless underdog facing an invincible opponent. I hope you understand that that cliche is absolutely wrong. Goliath is just big. He's a blundering fool that's killed by a kid with one rock. David is the giant. He has learned the power of obedience. He has the courage of a fresh perspective, fed by purity of motive, with a reminder of God's deliverance in the past. He doesn't try to be somebody he's not. He lives with a clear sense of mission, and he proceeds with confidence in God. The moment he stopped and threw that rock was the culmination of a whole lifetime of positive decisions. And so he went on to be a giant. My young friends, God has blessed you profoundly. You have so much talent and intelligence. It's been a pleasure to be your pastor these last 6 years. And as you go forward, you have the potential to be giants. Learn obedience to simple tasks. Have the courage of your fresh perspective. Be fed by purity of motives. Remember God's faithfulness to you in the past. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Live with a clear sense of mission and go with confidence into the unknown. David became a giant because every day he remembered one phrase: "The Lord is my shepherd." And so he lived with a sense of specialness. Live every day with the recognition the Lord is your shepherd and you are touched with the special love and grace of God. You don't go alone. The love of this fellowship goes with you. The encouragement of this family goes with you. And you are poised to become giants and to use your special slingshot to the best of your ability. God bless you all. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, we thank you for these young people. We ask your blessings upon their life. We ask that the lessons of David might be in their hearts this day and forevermore, that they may indeed be spiritual giants for you. In the name of the Christ, we pray. Amen.